AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, hosted by MC8 and Big Steel. It's every Thursday,
y'all already know.
A podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangster rap.
Let's go.
Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Bang and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts, the hottest podcast in the streets. Visit the new website today, www.bigfactspod.com.
Live from First Class Sounds, you know who it is, DJ Scream. Big Bang is here, Baby Jade is here. It's time for another episode of Big Facts, and today we will be having a conversation. You know, we have conversations, you know, with hustlers from all different walks of life. If you're a hustler, we respect that. And today we are very, 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 very happy to have Ed Davis, CEO and founder of Checkmate Sports in the building on Checkmate. Big Facts.
And
he is also the son of the legendary Big Duke from Boys in the Hood, right?
Yes, sir.
He said, I'm his firstborn, man.
Yeah, Eastside Reside.
When you started your company?
So we launched Checkmate Sports in 2019. Got into the industry about 2016, working with other agents, interning, trying to, you know, find my way in, and then eventually learned the game. I said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and start Checkmate. So we launched in 2019 and been up and running ever since.
And what made you decide to go that route? Because the average young black man wants to play sports or rap. Let's just keep it real. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So what made you decide, man, I want to go be an agent and help niggas not fuck their money up, kind of guide them along the right path and all that shit?
Man, that's a good question. Honestly, seeing my dad in the music industry, you know, he started out with Suave House, So Def, and all that. Mm-hmm. And just seeing him, basically, he was giving me the game at such a young age. Like, man, this music industry ain't what you think it is. Mm. And so instead of it turning me on and trying to get into it, I was like, all right, Pops, well, you did this. You know, you giving me the game. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go this way.
So he used to tell you some of the bullshit that go on in the industry?
Yeah, from day one.
What's some of the things he kind of told you? Like,
some stuff I ain't even going to say, you know what I'm saying? But it's some stuff, you know, that a lot of stuff going, you know, casting couches and crazy type of stuff to get into the industry. Mm. And it was something that I wasn't, you know, just morally, it wasn't aligned with that. So I said, you know what, either I was going to try to be a producer or a DJ or something like that, but I just didn't have the skill set for it. But I played ball. I was a quarterback. I was really good at that. I said, you know what? This is my lane. So I've been rocking with that ever since.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's how it go. You ain't force it. Basically. Like, you ain't trying to force something that you ain't feel.
Right.
That's real. Mm-hmm. I mean, athletes you got signed to you?
So right now we got about five. We got two guys that went into the league. Travis Reed from South Alabama, we got him to the Colts. And Christian Angelo from Hampton University, he ended up going to the New York Giants. And the cool thing about that is we did that in the heart of the pandemic. Yeah. So we launched Checkmate Sports in 2019. And it was crazy because our first draft class ended up going into the draft in 2020. But we all know what happened in 2020 with COVID. Mm-hmm. So our first year, we coming out the gate trying to make a name for ourselves. We put about 20-30K into these guys training. And then comes for, you know, when it gets ready for them to go to pro day in March 2020, they shut everything down.
So when you put the 20 or 30,000 into their training and, you know what I'm saying, all of that stuff, how do you guarantee that you recoup?
There is no guarantee. That's the scary part. It's like investing into a rapper. Shit. Ain't no guarantee.
You breaking artists. You breaking athletes. Yeah. That's what we doing. That's yeah. That's the crazy part about it.
How hard is it to be black owned in this shit though? Like,
man, it's difficult. I think in any industry when you black, especially when you going into industries where we're not known, you know, like if you starting a record label, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? We done seen Birdman. We see people who did it, but when you get into the sports world and that good old boy network, it's a little difficult. And that's why I had to launch Checkmate Sports, because I was interning for other agents trying to get in, but they were always little brother me. You know what I'm saying? They would just make me do a little, you know, BS work, Microsoft Excel, stuff like that. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to stack my bread up. And then, you know, we took off with Checkmate.
For sure. With your staff, your whole staff black, or you got?
Yeah, I used to have an Hispanic guy, but he ended up starting his little agency and stuff like that. We put him on, but right now we're just all black on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what's what is your approach to keep athletes like on the proper path to get to that level of that draft? Because keeping it real, we don't have athletes here that keep it real. Like,
uh-huh.
I smoke, I drink lean, I do this, I do that. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Yeah. But you obviously know now this is your investment. You don't put money into them. It's a little different than a rapper. Like, you got to keep them healthy.
Yeah.
You know what right. I'm saying? Like, what's some of the shit you do to keep them niggas straight and narrow? And another thing that could fuck these athletes up too is the women.
Most definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Someone can have vices with women, be going too crazy, they don't practice, they ain't focused, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And that can fuck it up. So how you keep them focused?
On the outside looking in, when you're a fan or when you just watch the game as a novice, you know, you wonder why certain players stay in the league longer than others. Mm. And then when you start to get in an agent or in the industry where you're investing in these players, you start to respect guys like Larry Fitzgerald and Jerry Rice and guys who got the talent and stay out of trouble. Mm. But to be honest, most of these guys, man, they... they got the egos, a lot of them are divas and stuff like that, but that's why they need they divas, man.
What they be doing, bro?
Man, I had a guy, I got him to the league, and I ain't gonna say his name, but it was crazy because I got him to the league after all the pandemic stuff. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. It gotta be one of the two people you just named. Right. But we'll fall back.
Yeah, but you know, so I ain't gonna say right. But he get him to the league, right? He called me 4 a.m. I'm thinking he got arrested, something crazy to happen. I pick up the phone, like, what's going on? I feel like Jerry Maguire, so I'm like, here it goes. Mm. He's like, man, I wanna come home. I said, for what? What happened? He's just like, man, I walked in the team room and I seen the depth chart and I was like, okay, what happened? Man, they had me last on the depth chart. I said, okay, then what happened?
Right.
Nothing. That's it. I'm last. I'm like,
meaning you probably not gonna play,
bro. Dude, you was unranked, undrafted. You just be happy you there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you
getting your money. Yeah.
You getting your money.
And so we had, it was like 5 a.m. I had to call his mom, his dad. We sitting on the phone. We just having a whole little, we trying to keep him from jumping off the cliff. So that right there was my first little thing. Like, man, these guys that mentally, their egos and stuff like that, like they need a team around them because it's a lot of pressure on them. You know,
ain't that's been hit in the head yet?
They all get hit in the head, you know. That's just a part of football.
What the fuck kind of question was that?
I think she's talking about the CTE or something.
Think that was
I don't think that's
had it. Anything to do with it.
I mean, he was a rookie, so he ain't been in the league that long. But it's just the nerves and stuff like that. That's all.
Yeah, he been hit in the head.
It's
football.
Fuck,
everybody getting hit in the motherfucking head.
Right.
Hey, so what else kind of was shit you be seeing in this shit?
Man, you believe it or not, man, a lot of times the athletes get a bad rap, but it's the people around them. You know, when you get into the industry, you start realizing that it be the handlers, the middleman, the mom, the dad, the cousins who more Hollywood than the actual athlete.
Mm.
You know, so that's the stuff that you have to deal with as an agent. You know, if you're trying to talk to a player, they may be locked in on football, they locked in on basketball, whatever. But then you have to go, he'll say, okay, talk to my uncle, talk to my dad, talk to my, you know. So now you got to go talk to the dad who's talking to three other agents, you know, who may promise them a job, promise them, you know, X amount. So it's a lot of stuff similar to the music industry. It's the same thing. It's just instead of they rapping, they throwing the football, catching it. It's funny. It was one of these guys I was recruiting. And I actually drove up to his house. You know, I went in, and I went into the house. Buddy put me on to him. I walk in the house. They had $20,000 in ones on the table. So I'm looking around. I'm thinking, like, okay, this is set up. I'm like, what's going on? Come to find out, his dad owned a – can't say what it is because people link it. But he owns a business where he need a lot of ones. You get it? So they up there cash, you know, counting money on the table, stuff like that. So I'm like, okay. I ain't gonna say, but I'm like, okay, you know, that's what's up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see where this conversation gonna head. Mm. So I do my little pitch, you know, and then at the end, they looking at me and they like, okay, so, you know, I feel it. I'm like, what's up? What y'all got to say? Let's say it. Mm. And they was like, you know, what you gonna put some money up or something? I'm like, so now I sit back in the chair. I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be one of these conversations.
What you ain't talking? So you got to give a nigga some money, though.
I mean, that's cool, but I just, it has to, let me say, that's cool. It's that's I understand that. That's part of the game. But a lot of times people, you know, be throwing out astronomical numbers.
So hold on, let me see this. So what's an agent job to do? When I come to you, how am I selling myself to you? Like, if I was a prospect right now, what would you come tell me and my family?
If you was a prospect, first of all, we want to make sure that you're going to be the focal point of our, you know, agency. A lot of times players go to the agencies that have 100 clients.
But what I'm saying, I'm already that nigga. What you going to tell me to make me fuck with you?
Basically, what I'm going to do is just show them that we're going to work for them, fight for them, and have their best interest at heart. You know, we took two guys that were under the radar and that was unranked. You know, Travis and Christian from HBCUs. So imagine what we could do for a player like you from Georgia, Alabama, USC, things like that. So we're going to make sure that we get you into the league. You're not getting
what I'm saying, though. I get what you're saying. Uh-huh. I'm saying is, I'm already that nigga coming out of high school. Okay. I know I'm finna be the shit.
He's Zion.
But you trying to sign
he's
me.
He's Zion Williams.
What are you telling me? You telling me some shit that I'm already, that's already going to happen.
And he probably hearing it. Let's just keep it real. He probably hearing it even though you're the black agent. He at his heart, he want to fuck with you, but he hearing it from the white agents. He's hearing
yeah, like, what
thing.
You going to say special? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it ain't nothing special to say. It's just building that relationship. Everybody going to say the same thing, but who you rock with? You know, who going to be there? Yeah, that's what it is. At the end of the day, we all got the same money. We all going to pay for the same training. We all pass the same exams. We all can negotiate the same contracts. It's just, who do you like? Who do you relate with?
I guess it's like,
but I'm over here, this white like boy over here telling me he finna give me goddamn $200,000-$300,000 and he already got goddamn.
They can't do that though.
Yeah.
What you mean they can't do that?
That's illegal.
Yeah,
they can't do that.
So what you mean? Oh, so when they ask you for money, that's illegal.
That's why I be like, you know, got to sit back and stuff like that. But I mean, it's illegal, but then there's ways that people maneuver around it.
I've been seeing nigga paying these young niggas forever though, coming out of high school. Go ahead, Jay. Ask your question, Jay. Go ahead, Jay. Ask your question.
I don't know nothing about that.
I don't have a question.
Bro, what you finna say, bro?
I already asked it. Answered it, I guess. I don't know.
It's like choosing.
I'm
like,
not doing that.
It's like, nah, you better not.
It's like choosing a lawyer. Like, it's the lawyer that you trust or the manager that you trust or whatever.
Also, it's just
is.
A nigga just to go represent you like a manager.
That's what a sports agent is. Except they put a little bit into you because they got to get you trained and shit. You see
so what about the niggas like, you know how you see a nigga in the hood like be fuck with all these athletes coming up and got them make sure they go to school?
They the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they the nigga that bring it to the agent.
They the runner.
Mm-hmm. They get paid too.
They like an A&R or something. They go find the town, then they go take it to the agent or they go take it to whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they get paid too. You know what I'm saying? On the back end.
Oh, they split
it's
percentage.
Like a finder's fee or some shit, yeah, right?
You know. On the back end, if that player blows
but
up.
I heard niggas say like they split the percentage with the agent. Like I think it's like 4% they give you or 5%.
A lot of that stuff is really, they're not supposed to be doing that. So, but I mean.
How the hell am I supposed to get in if I've been taking care of this young nigga? Because you can't do
I'm
it as an agent.
I'm not saying
me,
that.
I'm running around
saying,
with this nigga.
The gray area.
I'm
he
telling
saying
you,
that.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff that they doing is under the table. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it ain't supposed to be like that.
So this is the fucked up thing that they've been saying about college athletes, right? That's why they just passed the
NIL.
NIL
shit.
Get
money now, right?
Yeah.
Now they can
but
get some
the
money.
Now the game gonna change.
But before they just wanted them niggas to starve.
Right.
And that's where everybody been kind of protesting the NCAA and all that shit because it's like, you can't do nothing. You can't do that. You can't get no money here. You can't. All you can do is play football and go to class.
Exactly.
It don't make sense because a lot of these niggas coming from nothing. And they family at home fucked up, and you telling me I can't get no money, so why?
So you know a nigga gonna do some illegal shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. I got to.
Gotta take exactly. some type of risk.
I got exactly. to. Like, shit, there, nigga, this shit ain't guaranteed.
Exactly.
The one thing about that ball, this shit ain't guaranteed.
Yeah. Nah.
One thing can go wrong. You take one hit, you know what I'm saying?
And the crazy part is the universities, the coaches, everybody else making millions of dollars, but the players, the athletes, they not.
They always get the short end
so
of
what's
the
pie. So what's like marketing for like a sports agent.
So the best way I can explain it is I feel like athletes are now the new influencers. So you know how you got Jake Paul and these guys making millions of dollars, but now they're trying to get into boxing.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got guys like, you know, just think of Reggie Bush when he was coming
right,
out,
right.
Zion, when these guys were mega stars, but they wasn't able to capitalize off of it. But now if you got 4 or 5 million followers, you can hook up with a supplement company. You can hook up with up and coming Nike or something like that and promote it to your brand, you know, to your social media, and now you get paid. And that's going to change the landscape for agents, because now if you are a big firm and you just say, hey, so-and-so, I'm going to throw you $100,000. If you a freshman been making, you know, $2-3 million a year, that $100,000 don't mean nothing. Yeah, you know, so now it's no longer about who got the bigger bag. It's really about the right thing. Who do you relate to? Who do you trust? And who do you feel, you know, got your best interest? So that's why, you know, I'm really excited. And I'm also focused now on the college athletes, because it gives you a step ahead. Because a lot of these agents don't know who the best players are. They just wait to see who ESPN say, oh, he's the number one player, and then they go throw bags.
So they ain't going to get them niggas out the mud.
They don't know. They don't know the real talent until everybody else know it.
Yeah.
So for agents like me and people who really know the game, you know, you be knowing these guys 9th, 10th grade year. You go build that relationship with them. And then when they become superstars, you already got them.
You already locked in.
You already got them.
So what you do is something that happens. So sometimes a rapper might be signed to a CEO. 1-2-3 Records or whatever the case is, right? Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, their eyes might get big and somebody might get in their ear and they'll be like, man, I don't want to be with you no more. I want to be with them. You know what I'm saying? Y'all crazy. Out the top, out the daily on top. That's how y'all do it.
Shit, that Puff gonna be doing on them commercials.
Hey, there you go.
Salute. I get away to drink it.
Salute.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it. When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So how would you deal with an athlete that you went and got out the mud, put the money into him, training him, all that shit, and somebody got his ear and be like, bro, I don't want to be with you no more. I want to go be with them other folks.
I think the first thing you got to do is you can't take it personal, because that's just part of the business. And you treat it just like a relationship with your significant other. It's always going to be somebody trying to get at him. But if you're doing your job, doing right by him, all you can do is just trust and hope that, you know,
they'll do the right thing.
They do the right thing. But do people get in their ear? Most definitely. But that's why you got to have certain things in place where if I put X amount of dollars in you and you go somewhere else, I need to get that back. So that's how it go.
Okay, that's what it is. Yeah. So what's some of the other shit that you thought about getting into other than sports, or some other business, or some other shit you got going on?
Man, so the cool thing about what I did was, it was so hard for me to get into the industry. And I noticed, you know, it was difficult. And I thought it was like just being a black guy into the industry. Mm-hmm. I said, man, it's, you know, the good old boy network. But come to find out, it was a lot of agents that looked like me that wasn't helping me out get into it. Those were the guys.
So it wasn't just the Caucasian people.
Nah, it's not a color.
It was niggas hate.
It's an inside outside thing. It's the people on the inside, they like being on the inside. They ain't want to keep you. They don't want to keep us in there. So I mean, you know, and the cool, you know, crazy thing is my principal from high school. He was actually an agent. You know, I reached out to him a couple of times, tried to intern with him. Never gave me an opportunity. So I kind of took that to heart. I was like, well, you know what? When I have my breakthrough, I'm gonna do something where we can help people, not just like me, just people who just want to get in, have an opportunity. So what we did was, we actually launched the Checkmate Sports Agent Masterclass in January. And since January, we've helped over 70 people, you know, become sports agents. And the cool thing about it is, they do it without having to go to law school. So you don't have to take.
Are your classes able to certify them?
Yeah.
To do what they need to do?
Yeah.
And then, so cool, you can certify an agent. Like, you can, they can go through your shit and become a license.
And get actual credentials.
Yeah. So the cool thing about it is, because I actually heard about Neil last year during the summertime. Another agent I was talking to, he was like, man, you know, Neil's finna come out. I think that's gonna change the game. And I'm always one of those people who try to see, you know, stuff before it happens. So I ended up doing my research, and I said, man, this is a game changer. We don't have to invest in these, you know, these athletes no more going to the league. We can get them in freshman, sophomore year for nothing, just building that relationship, and then do right by them and then ride that wave. So I ended up writing the book, the NIL Gold Rush, back in November.
Okay.
And then we launched the company, the program, in January. And since then, I mean, it's been amazing.
That's dope.
So your principal holding up.
Man, yeah, man. Yeah, I hope you see it too, man.
Yeah, that nigga's supposed to be the nigga trying to push you forward and shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. It was rough, man.
That nigga holding up.
Yeah, it was crazy, because I noticed that a lot of these other agents, you know, the big time agents that we all hear about, it's not because they were, you know, some smart guy, something like that. It's just somebody looked out for him.
Yeah.
You know, somebody brought him in. And I noticed a lot of people in other communities, they were bringing me, oh, you so-and-so nephew, come on. You know what I'm saying? But for us, I'm like, oh, yo, you look like me. Let's. That was like, they kind of push you away, because they like being the only one in there. So I was like, okay, well, you know, we're going to flip the script. And that's what we've been doing.
For sure.
So let me ask you this. So when you were in high school, did you, is this something that you wanted to do, or is this something that you just kind of like figured would be the best way for you to kind of get out of what you were doing?
Actually,
were you interested in sports and shit?
Yeah, of course. I played football. I was a high school quarterback, so I wanted to go to the league, of course, like everybody. And then I came out with Cam Newton and Russell Wilson, and I was.
So why you ain't go?
Because Cam Newton 6'5", Russell Wilson throw it down the foul, stay it up.
They was better. Yeah, he said they was better than me.
They were way better than me.
They were better than me.
I had to like, oh, maybe this ain't going to work.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I had to pivot, and I was like, it was either between being a coach and being an agent, and then I just like the lifestyle. I like the control of my income of an agent, and I like being an advocate and being able to fight for these players. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go the agent route. And that's what happened.
So how long you had to do, you had to take a class to go to school for this shit?
Yeah, so originally the way that we've all known to become an agent is, you either have to go to law school or you have to get your master's. So I ended up going to Virginia State for my undergrad, went to Georgia State, got my master's, and then took the certification exam for the NFL and did it that way.
How long that took?
Man, I actually took the exam in 2018, right? It's 60 questions. It was 42 to pass. I got 47. Right, and this is how the NFL act, right? After we took the exam, they said, you know what? Too many people passed the exam, so we're going to move the score from a 42 to a 48.
So you only had 47.
So so I get it in the mail. I see you made 47 out of 60. I'm like, yes, I passed. I mean, that's good. And then they said, but we ended up, because they said it's a scaled exam. They said so and so many people passed it, so we moved it to a 48. I said, wow.
So what you had to do?
So the crazy thing is, you only get take it once a year. So I had to wait an entire year, study all over again, lock in, because that test ain't easy. And I ended up passing it the following year.
I don't think it's cheap either.
Nah, it's $2,500.
There you go.
$2,500 to take the exam.
Yep.
And but the cool thing is, now with the new law that passed, now you don't have to do that anymore.
Oh, so you can't take it without your master?
No. Well,
you got to have your master. Just regular nigga can't go take that exam.
Exactly. But now you can. Now you don't have to do that anymore. Now you don't have to go to law school. You don't have to have your master's. But the industry don't want you to know that because, of course, they want to keep making all the money. Mm. So with the new law that passed in July 1st that allows student athletes to get paid, now all you have to do is go through a certification program like what we offer, and you can become an agent in 30 days.
So this is something that the Big Facts fan would, like our listeners and people would ask some questions like this, right?
Okay.
What kind of money do an agent make, man? What kind of money is really in this shit?
So everybody knows Rich Paul, right?
Yeah.
LeBron.
Jay-Z, LeBron. Yeah.
So last year, according to Forbes, he made $45 million. Okay. And he was like ranked number nine. Now, Scott Boras is...
He was ranked number nine agent?
Yeah, ranked number nine. I think it was eight or nine for the top 10 highest paid agents for 2020.
Oh, wow.
So in the calendar year, in the pandemic, he made $45 million. Now, Scott Boras is number one. They ranked him. I think he made...
Do soccer players and shit?
No, baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah, he got all the baseball players. Mm-hmm. So he did $160 million. Mm. And then second was the soccer guy. He ended up doing like $110 million. Mm. So the thing about being an agent, it's a bunch of BS to get to the other side. Mm. But once you get in that top 10, it's crazy. Because you think about it, Scott Boras made $160 million. LeBron made $80 million. Floyd made like $100 million. Messi made like $100 million.
Oh, because so he got multiple.
Biggest agents are making more money than the players. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of money.
That's dope.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but I'm saying on the ground level, like just getting into it, like
the ground level is just like anything, music, Wall Street, the top 20% of the ones who making all the money. Mm. Everybody else pretty much, you could, I mean, when I say making all the money, making the millions, you know, the 8-9 figures. Now you can get in and you can make, you know, 100,000 here and there. Mm. You don't become an agent to make six figures. You know, I made six figures before I became an agent. You become an agent to make millions.
Right.
You know, like big money. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what you're doing. If you're doing it for 100,000, you can go do wholesale real estate, some stuff like that to get that. But for this is strictly 5, 10, 20, 100 million.
Mm. So when you're scouting like your prospective clients and stuff like that, what do you do to kind of, for lack of a better way to put it, reel them in and maintain that relationship all the way up until it's time for them to actually get signed?
So when it just depends on how you come in. If you coming in with a bag, if you got, you know, so-and-so behind you, put about 2-3 million, you can go in and do pretty much what you want to do. But most people coming in, how I came in with, you know, crumbs compared to them, you got to find the diamonds in the rough. So you got to really know the talent. So that's why we went after the guys we went after our first year, because we knew that the bigger agents wasn't going to be on them. So we had to go find those guys, build that relationship, and then, you know, hopefully it blossom into the league in the next level.
But I mean, like, on a personal level, how do you... What do you do to kind of like keep them under your wing so that they don't go with somebody?
You know what
else?
I think? I think.
Or keep them loyal to you.
I think the best thing to do is just be a professional. You know, sometimes agents or people who want to get in the industry, they want to be the friend. They want to be the buddy. They got enough friends. They got enough buddies. They need somebody that they can trust when shit hit the fan. They want to make sure that, okay, my agent know what he's doing. My agent going to stand on the table for me. He's going to protect me. So as long as you being a professional, doing right by them, not lying, you know, being up front with them, I think that's the way to the best practice. I mean, everybody has what works for them, but I think that is the best way to maintain that relationship. Because if you go in trying to be a friend, then your client going to turn into a diva, and now they're going to start calling you at, you know, making, you know, just treating you like a servant, you know, and you don't want to be that. You want it to be mutual respect amongst you and your clients.
So what you do when you see that now, okay, I can see he got a little bit of that shit in him. He going to go astray. What
I don't do it. I don't deal with it. My first couple of years, I dealt with it, you know what I'm saying, just trying to break my name. But now that I got my name, I don't deal with it because the money ain't worth it. You know, it's just, man, the worst thing to having no client is a bad client. I tell people that all the time because they're going to call you, they're going to blow your phone up, and then they're not going to do the right thing. The worst thing you can do is stand on the table for a player, you know, put up X amount of dollars, call a team, fight for him to get a workout, and then he get there and then he got an attitude problem or he doing the wrong thing. Because then what's going to happen now is those teams going to be like, whose guy is this?
Yep.
That's Ed guy. So now if I got another guy I call, they're going to be like, I don't know. So that's why you don't want to attach your name to, you know, players like that. And the league is different from the music industry. You know, the league is real. If you don't act right, they're going to get you up out of there. You know what I'm saying? So I realized that I take the same approach they take. They're not going to invest in a player $20-30 million. So why should I invest in my player, you know, into a player if they're not acting right?
Should athletes beware of the flashy agent? Because some agents go get a lot of shit, jewelry, watches, cars, and all that shit to kind of reel them in, but they really don't be knowing the business. I done heard that too.
You know what? That's what everybody say, but I have that motto, do what winners do. And I hate to say that, but that's what people like. You know, people like that flashiness.
Do you do it?
I don't do it. I'm dabbling into it a little bit, but it's just not me personally. You know what I'm saying? I'm more of a substance guy over flash. Just because, you know, growing up in the music industry, on the inside, I seen everybody who everybody thought had money.
The flash.
You know what I'm saying? I saw the flash. I grew up early 90s, so I saw Atlanta. I'm like, yeah, it looked good on TV, and then I'm seeing them coming back, you know, sleeping on somebody's couch. You know, so I don't really care about the flash. I care about the substance. But, you know, some agents, they win with that. But I don't think it's going to last because athletes are no longer going to be broke. You know, so if I come to the table and I've been eating ramen noodles for the last 4 years and then somebody dropped $100,000, that's like, whoa, okay, that's cool. But if, you know, with this name, image, and likeness, now athletes getting $100,000 for a post. So that's like, okay. And a lot of these agents who flashy, they cover it up. You know, they cover up being corny. They cover up not relating to these athletes.
Like most of these niggas.
Yeah, so it's just like that. It's like, all right, I ain't got a mouthpiece. I can't relate. So you know what? Take all this money. And the bad part about that is it's a transaction. It's like if you buy your significant other, if you pay for She's gonna be out the first time she hit the fan. But if you got an organic relationship, she's gonna be there with you. That's why a lot of times athletes get out the league or they get in a bad spot and they call their agent. Their agent like, dude, I got 90 other clients. I'm gonna go rock with them. You know, I see you later. And because it's a transaction, it's like, hey, I put the money up, you do your part. But those agents who win it for the right reason, they're gonna be there and they're gonna fight for them.
What's some valuable shit your pops taught you, big dude? Just on some life shit outside of sports, man. It could be just some life shit, how to move around out here, anything. What's some of the most valuable shit?
Pops told me a 5-minute decision can change a life. I mean, and you just think about that from sex to drugs to freaking, you know, pulling the trigger. You know, anything you can do in 5 minutes, that could change your whole outlook on life. So when he said that, that really stuck with me. A lot of stuff. I remember when the R. Kelly stuff came out back in the day, and I was talking to Pops. Like, Pops, I don't think he did. He rich. And I remember we was driving down Brown's Mill. I was going to football practice. He pulled a car over. He looked over. He said, "Hey, man, don't you ever say that, man." And I ain't realize it at the time. You get what I'm saying? But he was just like, "You can never put anything past people because of money." And I was just, you know, and it stuck with me. And he always, a lot of stuff that he said back then, it didn't hit me until I got older. And I just started realizing, like, man, he really put me up on game. And, you know, I shout out to Pops. And shout out to my mom, too. Shout out to my mom.
And shout out to your mama.
She just, her cancer went into remission.
Yeah.
I'm really happy about that. Because that came out of nowhere. And she beat that. So she's, shout out to her because that was a... dope to see.
And you from the east side?
Yeah, Stone Mountain.
Stone Mountain?
Yep, born and raised.
That's what's up. Yep, I just want to throw out there.
Yeah. Stone Mountain, we on the upcome, man. A lot, you know, back in the day, it used to be Decatur. You know, now everybody, all the movers and shakers coming out of Stone Mountain. So
that's
break that down now.
What's the most iconic song in the last 10, 15 years?
Please don't say Swag Surf.
Yeah.
It is, though.
It is.
That shit arena. That's you know,
it. It is. We got.
No offense to the Swag Surfing people, that's FLY. My people, but FLY, but.
That shit big.
That is the biggest.
Shit no, but I'm saying, he's saying that shit like.
Swag Surfing is
too. Nah, but he's saying that shit like some life-changing niggas that came from Stone Mountain. I can name 30 niggas that came from the west side that didn't change
we
the
didn't
world.
We didn't bring the west side.
Are they still doing it, though? Are they relevant right now?
That shit,
we weren't even talking
about it. Who you talking about, though?
I'm talking about plenty of people. We got the West Side.
We ain't gonna even start
that. Yeah, we ain't gonna start about that. This is the East Side. This is the Canada and Stonebound. Shouts to the whole ATL and all the surrounding
area.
Yeah. We ain't gonna start that.
Yeah, shout out to everybody.
But I am curious of who some of these Stonebound. Okay. I am curious. I'm just curious. I'm not knocking them.
So last time I checked, Swiss Beats was from Stonebound.
Is that Lothonia?
New York.
Yeah, he came from New York.
I mean, I'm just telling. Hey.
Childish Gambino.
Yeah, Stonebound.
Deep. Yeah.
Okay, that's okay.
Childish Gambino.
Yeah, yeah, Childish Gambino. Okay. Yeah,
well, really, 1.5.
Okay.
Again, because this nigga claims New York. Come
nah,
on.
We got goddamn Swag Surfing.
Mm-hmm. And Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino. Who
else? Let's take Swiss out there.
Swiss from New York, man.
Yeah, Swiss says he's from New York. He don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got Meezy. Meezy running the city right
big
now.
Big facts.
Shout out to Meezy.
Big facts. Oh, big facts. He calls a nigga name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big facts.
So,
big facts.
So, we got him. I'm just thinking about like a lot
nah,
of.
Nah, that's enough.
Yeah,
that's enough.
What more you need? We got on Mountain.
I was ready to say, and then we got the sports world. We got Marshawn. We got Drew. Who put
which
on
Marshawn
Brooks? He ended up.
Oh yeah.
We had Drew end up going to the
Lakers. Look at Jay Faye.
You know what I'm
saying? They turned up.
You got me running
big
the
mouth.
Sport industry.
Big mouth shit.
So yeah, Stonebound. Oh yeah, Pretty Boy Tank.
Pretty Boy Tank.
So Stonebound, you know,
turn up. Yeah, hell yeah. Let's hear it for the boys from Stone Mountain.
Nah, salute Stone Mountain. My whole shit started at the H room right there on Memorial. Oh, so I always got to salute Stone Mountain.
That boy Stone Mountain scream.
I said my whole shit. I didn't say Stone Mountain scream. But
he's DJ Scream.
Yeah, Body by Ted, too. He running the fitness world.
Facts.
Oh, yeah, I fuck with Ted.
Facts.
I fuck with
Ted. Stone Mountain.
It sounds like East Side.
That's what it sounds like if y'all want me to start naming.
Man, we can go all day with the East Side, so we ain't even got to even talk about that. We can go all day, bro.
We love the West.
What we doing? What's next, Screen? What we doing,
Screen? Moving on. So what the future look like for you?
Man, the future's bright. Honestly, when I first got to the industry, I felt like it was a race to the bottom because if you'd have had a bag, you wasn't going to beat these big agents. You know what I'm saying? You can go in there trying to be cool and all that, but they was coming in with a crazy check and money talk. But now with this new deal, it changed the game. The landscape is it's a blue ocean, and I feel like it's the wild, wild west right now. So as far as our company, Checkmate Sports, we're getting into the space of more representing athletes, professional and student athletes on the marketing side, and educating people so that they can do it. Because it's a lot of moms, it's a lot of dads who got sons and daughters who may not be Reggie Bush, but they can make money. And that's big because everybody's not going to make it to the NFL. Everybody's not going to make it to MLB. They're not going to make it to, you know, the NBA.
Do you tell your clients that day one, like, bro, you might not make it to the NFL? Because any rapper I've ever fucked with, I'll tell them, like, you might not make it, bro. The first thing, if you want me to fuck with you, you need to know that you might not make it, bro.
I tell them because at that point, I feel like they're going to make it. You might not stay. You might not stay. That's what we pretty much, because I really don't try to go after guys that ain't going to make it. But the guy, I feel like if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you may not stay. So I feel like as far as for our company with this Neil, we can help guys. And that's powerful because now you can make generational wealth at the college level. You know, so you don't have to make it to, because think about Tebow. Think about what's his name? The Heisman, Johnny Football.
These dudes had
a cult following and ain't make it in the league. But if you can cash in, you know, $5-10 million in college or in high school, because now high school athletes can get paid.
Yeah. That's when they got to start letting the young niggas get that money early. Yeah.
And that could change the whole landscape.
But I think the feel of that is when they're that young and get that type of money that early, and I want them to cash out, they probably ain't gonna be able to stay focused.
But yo, might get focused on some more shit.
No, I'm just saying, a young person, I'm not even saying a young
just
person.
Just say, you go to college, you
if
go to
we were 17 years old and we all had $5 million, all four of us, different $5 million, everybody would have a different situation with that $5 million.
And that's why they need agents.
True. That's why you're here. Managers. That's why we want to let people know.
See, I think if you give the niggas the money early, that will prevent them from turning into MC Hammer. When he was older and fucked it up, fucked it all the way up. If you give them the money early and they fuck up a little bit of it while they're still young, they have plenty of time to grow into adults and to understand.
I see what you said.
And mature with the money and understand what they're supposed to do with it, as opposed to.
Let me break this down. I agree with you saying.
What you say?
Go ahead, finish.
What you say? What moral of the story is?
The moral of the story is, if you give a nigga some money while he's young, if he fucks a little bit of it up when you give it to him, then he still has time to mature.
Could be a grown as
well. What to do with the money. Yeah, but if you give an old nigga some money, who he's never gonna had fuck it up like MC Hammer did.
And
he's flat broke with $80 million.
Yeah. It can go both ways.
That come down to money management and stuff like that.
It go both ways. She's saying when you young, you still got a shot. It's because your talent still gonna be there.
You still there, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I feel like it'll do more good than harm. So
it's young. Yeah, get that money. Me too.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's gonna help you and your family out. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a lot of times I be going to recruit players. I see players, and they mom don't have a dollar to get something.
That's
from the
fucked up part.
That's crazy because you know, their son or daughter. Everybody in the stand got they jersey on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but mom can't get a hot dog. And the players can't get a job because they got to be at football practice.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You get what I'm saying? It's all that's changing now. So I think the future's bright.
It's like a rock in a hard place situation.
Why they just can't get a salary from the colleges? Because colleges make billions.
Because the thing is, they like to control the players.
So it's just
but they still motivated to pay them niggas something.
They're
paying them in scholarships, education, which is get your education, but it's some bullshit. It's like, I need to.
That's why they need to start paying these niggas, letting these niggas get their own money. So by the time I'm in school, going through this school shit, getting money, I might figure out something else, a business.
Mm-hmm.
Before I even get to goddamn
the league. They want you to figure out a business. They want you to be a slave.
They
want to
empower you.
To that.
They want to control you.
Yeah. So you stay here for these 2, 3, 4 years, make us a whole bunch of money we don't get. Salute.
Salute.
Your stupid salute ass.
You stay here for 3, 4 years, and then you might go to the league.
Right.
But you know how that can go.
It is what it is.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So outside of your agency, mm-hmm. like what type of shit do you like to do in your free time? And do you have like a family? You got kids and shit?
Yeah, I actually just got married in 2020, September, to my long time girlfriend.
How Brittany. Long y'all was long time?
5 years.
September what?
September 6th. Yeah, I can feel it now.
That question is always scary.
I can feel it now. September 6th. Yep, September 6th. So we ended up making it official. Pandemic taught me a lot. You know, it really, you know, at that time alone in isolation, you know, made me realize how important family was.
You and got kids?
No, not yet. So we planned, we wanted to enjoy a year together. Okay. And then, so, you know, we'll see what happens next year.
So what kind of shit do you like to do?
Honestly, outside of sports, I'm real big into just self-development and just money management. So I'm big into real estate, crypto, investing, things like that. So I pretty much do what everybody do as far as...
You don't like to travel or nothing?
You know what? I worked for Delta for 10 years, and I could fly. I was throwing bags under the plane, baggage handler. And so I've been able to fly since 20. So I'm pretty much flew out from then, and then just traveling, guys. I honestly just like being at home. I like relaxing and bills paid.
You got any games or anything that you like to play, like board games and shit?
You know what, man? I sound real boring. I'll play. I like to read books, man. I'm real big.
I said, if you got a day where you want to just get on some bullshit, not extreme bullshit, but if you say, man, today I'm going to be on some bullshit and maybe go to the Cheetah and get me some
strip club stuff like that. I mean, I'm a connoisseur of that.
Let them know.
I was at Stroker's last night, matter of fact.
Okay.
So that was cool. And it was
some more Stone Mountain East Side shit.
Yeah, you know, I was at Stroker's last night.
Stroker's and pinups out there, right?
And it was
outside DJ Funk.
It was funny. It was funny because when I was walking in, you know, you take your ID out, get a dude your ID or whatever, and he was like, hey, I know you. So I'm thinking he know me through my dad or through Funky or Brandon, my brother, who would always be over there. He was like, you that sports agent dude, right? I was like, yeah.
That's
hard. Yeah. I was like, yeah. He was like, oh, yeah, man. I seen your class, man. I want to mess with you. Take my number. And so I put my hands up to get. He was like, man, you good, man. Go on in. I was like, all right. Cool.
No necktie. Keep it on me.
Yeah.
No necktie to keep.
You know what? Let me tell everybody to mess him up. But he was cool, man. He showed a lot of love, man. And, you know, but yeah, I definitely party in the city. But I grew up in that DJ Pretty Boy Tank, Travis Porter, you know, Roscoe Dash. So we was at Frequency.
Big 8 and all that.
Big 8.
Yeah.
All that. So I partied, man. I've done everything I wanted to do. The thing I want to do now is at 30, I said, I want to make real money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I got enough experience. I got enough locker room war stories to tell everybody, oh, yeah, I did all this. But now, you know, can I change my family life?
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? If I have a daughter, can I change their life? Can they call me and say, hey, Pops, I want this job. Make that call. That's what I'm focused on right now. Yeah. So party and stuff, I feel like that's pre-30. You know what I'm saying? Cool. Now get a bag. Then go party. You know what I'm saying? That's what you want to do. But right now we're just focusing on, you know, bag talk.
You're also a massive Big Facts fan too. We salute you for that.
Yeah, most definitely. Most aww. Definitely. Most
what's
definitely.
What's your what's shit? What, yeah, there you go.
Fuck that was funny. That was funny.
what's like two or three of your favorite episodes?
I love the one with Birdman.
Birdman,
you know,
is a
Birdman
classic.
Is an underrated genius when it comes to that music. You know,
yeah.
I like Birdman. Mm. It's funny. I like the guy, the pimp guy.
Pimp again.
Yeah, his was interesting. It was real interesting.
A lot of people liked him.
Yeah, yeah, I liked him.
Jay liked him.
yeah, I was choosing.
Oh shit! Yeah. Right, nah,
I chose. I got chose. Duck.
Chosen pimping.
Yeah.
I also,
<His nigga.
laughs> On the business side, I like Aristotle stuff too.
Shout out to Aristotle.
I like his stuff. So yeah,
no. You know him personally?
No, I don't. I know people. We got to link that work with him, but no, I don't know him personally.
Okay. We got to hook that up.
Yeah, do that.
Aristotle, some options. Yeah, he cool. Yeah, and shout out to putting out. He well, he up there. What did he say? He up there.
Up here.
Yeah, he up there.
Yeah,
up here where I am.
Nah, we appreciate you for coming through, my brother.
Yeah, man. I appreciate y'all having me, man.
Absolutely. Nice to meet you. Check out his website and anything. Any final words to the people, man? Some games, some knowledge on how to get some money, how to stay out of bullshit, whatever you want to tell the people.
If I leave you guys with anything, I think my life changed when I became coachable. You know, prior to me being 30, I always had minimal success, but I never had that breakthrough where, you know, I could get to seven figures. I always was stuck, you know what I'm saying, at a certain point. And then when I got 30, I said, you know what, my New Year's resolution was just to learn, you know, not try to be the smartest guy in the room, you know, just find somebody who know more than me and just be coachable. If they say do this, do it, you know. And ever since I did that, I had a breakthrough. My life has been up, you know.
So you saying your financial breakthrough came from just shutting the fuck up and listening?
Yeah.
I just wanted
because
people
sometimes
to hear that.
We read a book, we read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and then the first thing we do, we hop on the internet, act like we got it all figured out.
Exactly.
We get $1 off of Bitcoin, and now we Dave Ramsey. You know, what I mean? We know everybody. Yeah. You know, and so I was one of those guys because I read Rich Dad Poor Dad at 20. Mm. So I always been that, and I said, you know what? I'm sick of that. I don't want to be the smart guy no more. Who's smarter than me? And it's showing. And then I went and got next to them. And I just learned. And I soaked it up. And then from there, I realized everybody who around me was successful was married. You know? So then I said, well,
maybe I need to get married.
My girl been here for 5 years. She been, you know, holding me down. I said, let me go get married. Mm. And it was funny because when I did it.
A lot of niggas losing their bitches, man. This shit be fucked up. You lose your girl, bro.
Yeah. Why you think they losing them?
I don't know.
What's that about?
Oh, man.
You alright?
Hell no. Nah. I've been locked in 30 years, okay, man. I ain't going nowhere, man. Okay. We locked.
Okay, cool. But yeah, I just feel like, you know, having the right one, significant other.
Yeah, that shit help. That shit take something from you too when you
got the wrong one.
Yeah, nah, when you lose that one.
Oh yeah, that's a whole nother. Yeah, man.
That shit take something from you.
Why you think people? Why you think people? It don't be working out.
That pandemic.
Think the pandemic?
That pandemic fucked up a lot of relationships.
It did.
It's either made them stronger or fucked them up.
Yeah.
Because you actually got to see who this person was.
Mm-hmm. All day, all night.
You know what I'm saying? I got to be locked in with you now. I see flaws that I never would have saw.
Mm.
You know what's interesting? I realized that most people get married for the wrong reason.
And what are those?
I feel like, you know, you signing a marriage contract because it's a business decision. You get it? So when whoever you marry, they should be an asset. They should make you better because you guys are coming together, combining wealth.
Facts.
And so it's not just, you know, love is important, but it also have to make sure that this is a good business decision. That way, because love and stuff like that can be fleeting. It's temporary. But at the end of the day, you still got to do business.
What you think is a bad business decision?
You know, it depends on your situation. So if you got $20 million and then you marrying somebody who, you know, down bad, you know, that might be a bad decision. Mm. And it I know it sounds, you know what I'm saying?
That really like, that really
yeah, I was saying, just for curiosity, would you rather have the almost equally yoked partner that ain't gonna really be loyal to you, that's really using you, don't give a fuck about you as a person?
Are they equally yoked?
What I'm saying financially.
Okay.
All right, financially, you worth 20, they worth 10, but they on some bullshit. Or would you rather have this person, look, I don't have nothing that I'm willing to learn, I'm willing to shut the fuck up and follow you and help you build your empire?
Then that's a good business decision. Because they're going to listen. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. But if you got somebody who if they got bad financial decision, then that might hurt you. So I just feel like, you know, they got to be a business partner and romantic as well.
Okay.
I think that'll help.
Fair enough. I'm about to trip. Oh, my goodness, man.
I feel like if I had $20 million.
You getting whoever?
Nah, if I had $20 million and I married somebody who didn't have as much money, that means I love her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
For them.
Yeah.
You love them for them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, no. You love them for them. That's the way should be.
But why?
But I ain't just looking for nobody for no motherfucker.
But why sign a contract for that, though? If you love her, just move her into your house, take care of her for the rest of your life, and die.
That's real shit. Why sign a contract?
Why sign a contract?
Yeah. Mm. If it ain't, cause that bit, that real shit, though. That real shit. Not like what he said, like the end of the day. Shit, I can just love you then.
Yeah, that's what it is. This is love.
Why we gotta put this shit on? Yeah.
But if it's, now we're going into business.
I learned something today.
Yeah.
So right. I'm already locked in.
Yeah, you locked in.
It's different. It's but different. Saying, nah, you just gave them folks some real game, though.
Yeah.
Like, why shit? We married. He gonna ring and everything.
Jay don't like it.
But I'm not putting this shit on the paper.
I'm not really big on titles and shit like that. So I'm with that.
I can give you the big ring, call you my wife, but we ain't gotta do no contract.
Basically.
Huh? How that some bullshit?
Why is that?
How is that some bullshit?
Why is that?
You know what it is? because I got sisters.
What the marriage do? What the paper do though?
Hold her accountable. Yep.
Nah, the paper don't do nothing but goddamn guarantee if you fuck up, she get half of that money.
Exactly. Bingo.
That's what I said, hold you accountable.
Shout out PJ Washington.
Or if something happens, she should be able to take care of you.
It's
technically
beneficial. I put that money in Lil' name. I don't got to have the money. I put that money in somebody else's name.
It's not even about the money. Like, if something was to happen to you and you got to make a decision.
And you weren't coherent.
Somebody else.
The laws of our land.
Right.
She can't make decisions if y'all not married.
Well, niggas understand that part. You got somebody else gonna handle that. But I'm saying, you put a big old ass rock on her hand.
But see, that shit don't really, that shit don't matter, because some people don't give a fuck about shit like that, like about big rocks, and shit like that.
No, what I'm saying, whatever that say we married, without signing that paperwork, I'm doing, basically. Like, I'm doing everything. I'm taking you out. I'm loving you like a wife. I'm treating you like a wife.
Then she gonna ask you, why won't you sign the paperwork?
For what?
What is that about?
If that's the case.
I'm just saying, I get what he said. I already signed the motherfucker. Right. 20 years. I signed 21 years ago.
Three, yes, for sure.
What I'm saying is, if I would have thought about this.
I thought about it.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, what are we doing this for?
That's what,
like, real nigga shit. That's the episode now.
Well, yeah, that's a whole episode. Why are we doing
that
this?
For Big Fat Friday.
Yeah, like, why is a nigga
why
doing
are we
that?
Doing this? Why did I get married?
Why did I sign that contract?
Yeah.
Every time I've signed
the contract. You make it sound so technical.
Every time I've signed the contract, I receive something.
It's technical.
It's technical.
All that ceremony shit and all that shit. That shit don't mean nothing.
Every time we sign a contract, they send a wire.
Yeah.
So when I signed the contract, what? Well,
you got a life partner.
Your wife.
On paper.
Your wife.
But I got her.
Paper.
I got her.
Breach of contract.
We ain't going nowhere.
Right.
I'm saying, what that paper? Why a motherfucker got to stand up here, the state of Georgia, have to tell me I'm married forever if I'm saying this shit forever? I don't get that.
No.
I'm just being 100. Why I take a judge or a preacher stand here and tell me
preaching
that I'm married or I'm going to love this woman forever when I'm already signed up for it?
Right. That's a big fact. But
I want to understand that.
See, when you get that,
who made this shit up?
Playing devil's advocate, when you a nigga and you fucking get ready to fucking, like, do some, like, fuck shit bullshit, that paper makes you think twice.
Not really.
They don't give a fuck about that paper.
Look at Jeff Bezos and all these
don't give a fuck about that paper. Money. Because at the end of the day, I love you enough, bitch, you can have this shit anyway. That's just how it go. You think Jeff Bezos and all them niggas give a fuck about getting their wife? I did love you enough for you to have half of this.
Take that.
I don't care. Go ahead.
Especially if you
helped
build it.
Right.
Yeah, if you've been there since that, go ahead.
So why do people feel like, again, this go back to losing your wife or your girl or whatever the case is?
We're going to say this for Big Fat Friday.
For sure, but I just got to throw this out there. I lost my wife, my girl. I lost everything. They put everything with that.
No, they had everything.
Nah, because that bitch was doing everything for them.
Nah, they mental. When you lost everything, you lost your mental and your heart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, and we will revisit this, sign the fucking paperwork.
For what?
Why not? You go sign a record contract.
I ain't know no better.
You niggas go sign record contracts. Niggas go sign record contracts and all other things.
What I'm saying is, I'm not taking that away from what I got going on, bro. I love my wife unconditionally.
Yes.
And the paperwork don't mean shit to me. I don't even know where it said. I ain't right. seen it no more since I signed.
I feel you.
What I'm saying is,
she got it though.
Why the fuck does that matter?
She got it.
It's in a safe.
There you go. That's why it matters.
It's a contract. That's what it is. Like, you combining
it's
wealth.
Like,
but who's the motherfucker got to tell me that? So basically, the motherfucker got to solidify me.
That was the same people that tell you how fast you can drive, how slow you can drive, stop at the red light. It's they. We mm-hmm. get that part. I feel you on this shit. Who the
y'all
fuck
ain't
are they?
Feeling me, screen.
Who the fuck are they? I feel you. Who the fuck are they?
But like, I think, long I as think God know.
Yeah.
Long as me and God say, this me forever.
But I think marriages are more for like.
So
for,
God signed the paper?
For the female validation of for the
sure.
situation. Because
for sure.
females
female
have
be married.
Mothers, sisters, family yeah. members, aunties, cousins, daddies, everybody. Like, the nigga ain't put a ring on the check? Like. Y'all ain't married, y'all like all
think
kind of shit because you got to look at it like back in the day, like marriage was a common practice of the institution of love and finances.
Mm-hmm. Also something that you're supposed to do.
Man, all that shit. Yeah. They just making some shit to make a nigga say he don't supposed to have a one bitch, man. At the end of the day, all right, marriage is supposed to make it.
Because in other countries,
we can marry more than one.
That's what I'm saying. Nah, man, that's just some shit they throwed on in the game, bro. Niggas supposed to be kings. You're supposed to be kings, man.
You know why they stopped that?
That's why it ain't enough. Why that's why it's a shortage on niggas.
What?
You said so.
Listen, because this
Friday, man.
Say
yeah.
less.
Right.
Hold up, what you finna say?
Basically, you study history back in the day, all the rich people, so all the Floyd Mayweathers, they could get 100,000 of girls. The problem with that is most people was poor. So they would leave countries and go to other countries where they could get women. And so that would make those countries weak because they didn't have no soldiers and stuff like that. So that's why they make it so that one man, one girl. Because if, you know, the richest dude got 100 girls, you know, now these dudes sitting around here like, man, I'm going to DR, you know, and that changed power.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. We appreciate you, bro. Get everybody at that website for your slide.
Hey, www.sportsagentmasterclass.com/opt-in. It'll be in the link.
All right. That's
right.
BigFactsPod.com.
Eastside Stone Mountain shit.
Oh, yeah. Before we finish, I got to shout out my boy Sean, Spiritual Word.
Spiritual Word, salute.
Fucking hoodie.
Salute.
Amazing platform.
Shows us a lot of love.
Crazy merch.
Nah, big facts.
Oh, yeah. Call my agent _ Instagram. Follow me.
That's what it is. www.bigfactspod.com.
Salute!
Salute! You're listening to Big Facts with Big Bank and DJ Scream. Follow Big Facts on social media at Big Facts Pod. Big Bank and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts.
Hey, man, it's all the way up.
Ladies and gentlemen!
That merch in.
Yes!
Yeah, that's right. www.bigfactspod.com.
Yeah, with the real ones one time. Y'all come get y'all some of this merch, man.
BigFactsPod.com.
Let's get it.
Get that merch right now. Shop with us.
It's all the way up. Big Fat merch.
It's going down.
Visit the new website today. www.bigfactspod.com. Visit now.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, hosted by MC8 and Big Steel. It's every Thursday.
I already know.
A podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap.
Let's go.
Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.